This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning. It is Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Love to hear from you this morning. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Or do you want to call the program, 800-224-2004. The Steelers go to 10-0, an easy victory over Jacksonville. Now, look, we've been saying this all year with Pittsburgh, right? There have been undefeated teams at this point in the season. And, you know, we get a feel for each one of them. Everybody that makes these long, undefeated journeys get sort of a look. I mean, how good is this team? The Steelers at 10-0 didn't have any problems with Jacksonville, but there were times where they didn't look particularly good. The thing with the Steelers is, look, they're not blowing anybody away. They're not dominating. They're not like the 2007 Patriots, you know, who went unbeaten through 16 games of the regular season. They're a team that at times struggles, a team that finds its footing, kind of plays down to its competition, but still gets a win. As a Steeler fan, I was worried about that around week 6, right? When they were 5-0 and playing the Browns or whatever it was. Because you were worried that, look, it may be a good start, but in the end, it's how you finish, it's how you look, it's how good are you in the hierarchy of your conference. And then also when you're talking about Super Bowl, hierarchy of the NFL. I'm pushing that all aside right now. I'm enjoying it. It's 10-0. It might not be 16-0. We'll see. But I'm enjoying it. The one problem is, at 10-0, it's Super Bowl championship or nothing now. It isn't just to have a really good season, get home field advantage in the playoffs, and see what happens. You reach a point where that might be okay if you were 7-3. That might be okay if you were 8-2. Where you say, like, well, it's 8-2, but we'll see how the playoffs form, you know, sort itself out. Okay. 10-0, you're now reaching a point where the only thing acceptable is winning a championship. Now, unless they go 11-5 and close out the season terrible because Roethlisberger got hurt or whatnot, but all things being equal, this is a likely 13-3 team at the worst. Probably 14-2, maybe 15-1. They go 16-0, forget it. But that means that you have to close out the deal. The landmines of the AFC are still prone for you to be upset, and also whoever comes out of the NFC. It does put a different perspective on your season at that point.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is time now for the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Monday edition. So much information to get through for the weekend. So much to sift through. We give you the good of the day.
Oh, I can't tell you how much we have. I mean, we only have one good of the day, but we do have two bads and two dumbs. So there's a lot to get through.
All right.
The good of the day, I got to give to Sean Payton. You know that Saints head coach?
Yeah.
For being a master troll on Twitter.
He is a master troll.
Master troll on Twitter. So Roddy White, you remember him?
I do remember Roddy White, yeah.
Roddy White had tweeted out, Saints about to get whipped trying us with Taysom Hill at quarterback. We about to snack them.
Ha, ha, ha.
Guess what Sean Payton said?
What did he say?
Nothing. All he did was retweet it after the game.
Very good. Very good, Sean Payton.
Just,
well done.
Just a simple little retweet.
Yeah.
Just to let everyone know that, yeah, this is what the Falcons were thinking.
Real quick on Taysom Hill. Is he a good quarterback?
I have no idea.
Like he can run. And that's great when he runs. But can he throw really well? Like, I didn't see a lot of great throws.
I didn't really see that either. And that kind of leads into my bad of the day.
All right.
If you were trying to find an edge in winning your fantasy football team.
Yes.
Taysom Hill was a tasty pickup this week.
He absolutely was.
And so I used the Taysom Hill said cheat code, if you want to call it that.
Well, let's tell him the cheat code.
The cheat code is that Taysom Hill has tight end designation.
That's right.
And so I picked him up and used him as my tight end, knowing full well that he was going to be the starting quarterback of the Saints and rack up a whole lot of points. Free points. Quarterbacks always get, you know, a lot of points if they have a good game.
In tight ends, there's a range of points you kind of expect from your tight end.
Right.
He might blow that out of the water, and he might get zero. You never know.
And he did.
And he did, I'm assuming he did.
He was up in the neighborhood of like 24, 25 points.
That's great.
That was great because, you know, two rushing touchdowns, a lot of passing going on, a lot of yards. He had a decent game as a starting quarterback, like you and I were just saying. We don't know if he's a good quarterback, but it was against the Falcons. So, you know, maybe that kind of helped out. However, where the bad comes in, it didn't matter with my team.
It didn't?
No, it didn't really help. I'm not out of the running yet, but I do need about 30, 35 points from Mike Evans tonight.
Okay.
To win.
All right. That seems like a lot.
I used the cheat code,
yeah,
and I still didn't win. So that is the half.
That's
one
bad.
Half of the bad.
You're right.
I thought I had it in the bag. I thought, oh, God, look at this. I picked up Taysom Hill. This is going to be great.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was amazing because we were talking to our friend John Hendricks from the Saints News Network on Friday about this game, and we all assumed Jameis Winston would be the quarterback. All indications was Jameis Winston was getting the start.
Yeah, why not? Well, he came in relief last weekend.
But when I asked him, I said, well, what about Taysom Hill? He said, well, it's not official, like, that Jameis Winston's getting the start. Taysom Hill could be the starter. And he was. By late Friday, the word got out. Taysom Hill was going to start.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And by all looks of it, I mean, he didn't play poorly enough.
No, he didn't play poorly. Like, his statistics weren't that bad, really. No. But
and let's face it, I mean, you know, he's a runner.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's what he does.
He's always in there for the running plays for the Saints anyways. I mean, we see him, you know, sub in for Drew all the time.
Yeah. He threw for 233. He was a quarterback at BYU, so I mean, he can play the position. But I mean, as an NFL thrower, is he decent enough when you need him to do that?
I mean, it wasn't overwhelming. Like, oh my God, second coming of Saints quarterbacks.
No.
Here we are. It didn't have that feeling there, but was able to get the job done. But still, I mean, he did do what I was hoping he would do. It's just the rest of the team didn't follow up.
That's right. All right, what is the second bat of the day?
The second bat of the day, and I know you saw this on Twitter. Listen, I'm from Southern California. I'm an In-N-Out fan.
Yeah.
I'm a really, really big In-N-Out fan. However, Colorado just got an In-N-Out burger.
They did. In Colorado Springs in Aurora.
Yes. And the line for it was 12 hours long.
And I didn't understand this because I know the food is good, but 12 hours is way too long to wait for food.
Yeah.
Fast food.
I wouldn't wait for 12 hours for In-N-Out. I mean, we had one open up in our area. We went like the first day we drove by. We were all excited. We're like, yeah, let's go get some In-N-Out. I saw how long that line was. Like, no, I don't need it.
No, exactly.
I
got to
be patient. I can wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, remember the Popeye's chicken sandwich craze?
Yes.
Everyone was going nuts because everybody wanted that sandwich and were waiting forever to get that sandwich.
They were fighting over it.
Fighting over that sandwich.
Now you can go to Popeye's and there's no line. Plenty of chicken sandwiches for you.
Plenty of chicken sandwiches, exactly.
So I get the, you know, oh my God. I mean, I remember hearing stories of, you know, the In-N-Outs that opened up in our area, how people were traveling from Louisiana to come and have In-N-Out.
Listen, and you know what the ramifications was of this? And I put this out on Twitter. Immediately people started ripping In-N-Out.
Yes.
Right? Because
it's not that good.
It's not that good. In fact, it's not only not good, it's pretty much crap. And everyone was starting to rip it. And I was telling people to hold on, just stop. First of all, it's not In-N-Out's fault that they make a product so good people want to wait 12 hours for it. But two, you don't have to do that. Like, why in the world do we feel like we have to do that? If waiting 12 hours for fast food is dumb, it doesn't make the fast food terrible.
No, you know what? It's just typical Whataburger fan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You can say In-N-Out burgers are really delicious because they are really delicious.
They are.
But waiting 12 hours for waiting 12 hours for them is not particularly good.
No, I mean, in fact, I mean, you always will wait for In-N-Out. It's not one of those where unless you're first in line when they first open up, you're not driving immediately up to the speaker, placing your order, and then going right to pay.
Exactly. Right.
There's always a line, but it's a quick line. You know, I can't remember being in line more than like 10 minutes, maybe 15 at the most.
You just, you know, it's
everything's
people
made to
were
order.
Taking their shots at, like, I love In-N-Out. We lived near one in Vegas when we were years and years ago. I know I told the story when I went to go see my sister, we rented a car. First place I went to was In-N-Out before I even went to my sister's house.
Yeah.
I went to In-N-Out.
No, no, that's
you know, it's fantastic. 12 hours? No, but it's still delicious burger.
Someone like me, when you land at LAX, first place you like, literally will see once you leave the airport area is an In-N-Out Burger.
Exactly.
And so you just hit up that joint real quick on your way home.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But yeah, 12 hours, I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm a huge, huge fan, but 12 hours, there needs to be a pot of gold.
I know, no kidding, no kidding.
God, that is long. Because, I mean, you get there, what, if you get there at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you mean to tell me you're not...
4 a.m.? I'm getting my burger?
Yeah, they're closed. They're, it's not voting rights where if you're in line, they have to allow you to vote.
That is true. 12 hours must have been a huge exaggeration. If I got there at noon, midnight is when I was going to get my sandwich?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. All right, now what's the dumb of the day?
We got two dumbs. One, right. And they're both dance videos, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, the first dumb is Skip Bayless doing his Cowboys victory dance.
Yeah, I saw that.
We don't ever need to see that, but we can't unsee it. That's the issue.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's the problem that we're having. I don't know. Is that in response to Stephen A. Smith always posting? I mean, even though they're not even on the same show with each other, but Stephen A. Smith, whenever the Cowboys loses, always posts a video where he's just laughing.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it, because that's how he trolls Cowboy fans. Skip Bayless isn't doing him any favors by posting that dance move. I don't know what it is, what that was supposed to be.
Trying to stay relevant in a crowded field.
Maybe. Trying to look hip and young, like he knows, but he's playing a song from the 90s.
I'm surprised he's not like, hey, coming up next on my show, I'm going to drink gasoline and breathe fire.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something that you cannot see. But the second dumb of the day is something that you can see and you need to watch over and over and over again. It was J-Lo's performance last night in the American Music Awards.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it live, too, but it's all over Twitter.
Is it?
And where I'm having issues with why this isn't the dumb of the day is the issue that I'm having. You can't convince me that she's 51 years old now.
Oh, well, yeah. Remember we said that the Super Bowl when she was dancing with Shakira?
Yeah.
Whenever that was? Because my mind is all melded together in the time vortex.
Tony, that was 4 years ago.
Was that 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. was it?
No, I think it was.
Was it this year?
I think it was this year.
Was it seriously just the last Super Bowl we had?
I think it.
Because it was in Miami?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Get me out of this. I'm not kidding. Get me out of this. I can't deal with it.
But it could be 4 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Watch this video. And then there's also still photos of her on the red carpet. There's no possible way she's 51 years old.
Wow.
That's why it's dumb. My brain doesn't process that she's,
you know, what's possible? Maybe she's capturing young children in the middle of the night, drinking their blood so she stays young.
Maybe
she's really 175 years old.
Good on A-Rod.
I mean, fantastic. You're right. But you know what? God bless you if you're in your 50s and you, because I'm not quite there yet, but I feel like an old man half the morning. I get up.
Yeah.
I ache. I can't get down the stairs one at a time. I'm like, ugh.
Listen.
You're 50 and you're like running up and down stairs and you're like, you look like you're 35, God bless you, man. That's putting some work in.
I moved some furniture around yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't move my right arm.
No, it stinks.
My right arm hurts so bad. And I'm like, I don't. So it's just a little bit of furniture, nothing too drastic. I mean, sure, it was a couch, but, my 13-year-old son helped me out, and I think he was helping me out more than he thought he was.
Probably, yeah. Exactly. Hey, use that labor when you can.
Oh,
it's very helpful. Very helpful.
I will.
Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, coming up next, speaking of time warps, one thing happened yesterday that reminded me that 2020 was a long, or continues to be a long year, and that is next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your window. And it's time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to see their selection. The professional parts people help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so we mentioned J-Lo and the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we talked about the Super Bowl performance with Shakira, and that did happen this year. It was down in Miami.
Not four and years they, ago? Like
no.
I believe? Okay.
No. And they did. They twerked on TV. Remember that? It was like, so here.
Shakira had that little tongue thing going on.
Yeah.
That became a viral gif.
Felt like it happened a million years ago.
It totally
so
did.
Yesterday in the Carolina Panthers game, P.J. Walker was the quarterback.
I remember him.
And I had to remember that, and I had to run, much like Garrett Gilbert when he played for Dallas, that they both played in the XFL this year. That they just played in a league that began and ended in the COVID quarantine.
You're mistaken. That was last year.
No, it was not. Believe it or not, P.J. Walker played quarterback another time in 2020, and now he's an NFL player. Blows me away how slow this year is going. It's coming to a crawl.
Well, that's why my son, he's dead set on doing this, and I'm 100% a part of it, is that when the clock strikes midnight, New Year's Day,
right,
we all need to step outside and just yell out Jumanji.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea. We
just
should.
As loud as we can, as one collective country, just yell Jumanji.
P.J. Walker fulfilled his dream. He used the XFL the way it was designed. Play well enough, look good enough for the Houston Roughnecks, and then go play in the National Football League. Wait your turn and get your start.
Did he actually get any awards? Because, I mean, I know he was the front runner for the MVP.
I don't think they did any awards.
They never settled anything, right?
No. They should have, but they didn't. He did throw two picks and had a touchdown, but whatever. He's, you know, who cares what his stats were. He played. He started for the Carolina Panthers. He was an XFL player, and now he's turned it into NFL gold, just like Garrett Gilbert. Garrett Gilbert played for the Orlando team or the Tampa team or one of those teams.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he played in the XFL, Garrett Gilbert. He played in the AAFL, which is another league that was up and running this year.
That one was 3 years ago.
That was 3 years ago. That must have been 3 years ago. And so he also played in this
league. That was only last year.
No, was it 2019 for the AAFL?
Yeah.
Was that spring of 2019?
Spring of 2019.
See, I'm like, eventually I'm going to be, you know, eating pudding in the corner looking at the birds by the window. Because I don't know what time warp I'm in. I really don't. I have no idea. It's funny. It's like college basketball is getting underway Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, when was the last time we saw college basketball? It must have been 1,000 years ago. No, it was March. We were all in tournament time back in March. They all got shut down in their conference tournaments. It wasn't that long ago. It feels like 100 years ago last time I saw college basketball.
Weren't we upset with the Big East tournament?
Yeah.
Because they played. No, you guys, everyone needs to take a break for about a week or two. Don't worry. The games will come back together.
Right.
The tournament it'll just be temporarily halted.
I remember the SEC tournament was going on here in Nashville. My buddy was upset because he bought tickets and they wouldn't let fans in. And I told him, I said, don't worry about it. They ain't going to play. And he kept texting me, they're playing. I go, no, they're not. They're going to cancel. They're going to follow suit like everybody else. And they did. And I was, that feels like 100 years ago. Oh my God. It just feels like forever.
When Rudy Gobert was the name across the
name.
The country.
That's right. We all buzzed about Rudy Gobert that day in March.
The catalyst to getting pretty much the country shut down.
That's right. So P.J. Walker, congratulations. You did it. You made 2020 worth it for yourself.
Well, I mean, think about that. 2020 has actually been a good year for him.
Very good year for him.
Everyone else, we're having a miserable time. But 2020, he's going to look back on with fond memories.
Yeah, exactly. So he had he was the MVP, if you were to give one out for the XFL, and enough to warrant a look at by NFL teams. And I think Jordan Tamu, former Ole Miss quarterback, was another one. He played for the Battle Hawks of St. Louis.
Yeah.
I think he's either on the practice squad of the Kansas City Chiefs or somewhere else. But Kansas City had picked him up, put him on their practice squad. He's another one. And turned some XFL moments into some sort of NFL experience.
And let's really think about this. The season being cut short for P.J. Walker might have been a benefit.
Sure. It might have been. You're right.
You know, because there was, I think, only 3 games left in the season before the season ended, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's about 3 games left. He could have played terrible and shown all the flaws that, you know, and made us realize why he's not in the NFL. But instead, he left the game, or the season ended with him at the top of the game going, my God, why isn't this guy in the NFL?
Yeah.
And of course he gets tryouts.
Exactly. So good for him turning some XFL experience. Listen, we talked about the XFL when it was going down. I felt bad for it. I thought it figured out its groove. It figured out what it was. It seemed to be run well. It's, you know, it, I mean, look, would it have lasted? I don't know. I mean, it's expensive. We know that. It's expensive. I mean, I worked in two minor league basketball teams that had no money. I can only imagine the cost of running a football team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just only imagine we just talked about Clemson costing $300,000 to go from South Carolina to North Florida, right? In a charter jet and hotel and whatnot. 300 grand. Can you imagine putting that kind of bill on an XFL team that's selling tickets at $15 a pop or whatever it was? Yeah, there's hardly, I mean, there's very, very slim margins to have this, but it was going, it was going along. And then, you know, obviously they couldn't make it after COVID. We were just surprised that it shut down because it was quick. Remember, like we didn't know COVID, what sports was going to look like. At the time when everything was shutting down, we were like, oh, is it coming back next week? Is it coming back next month? Are we still going to have is baseball going to start on time? Like we were playing it by ear. So the XFL canceled its season. And then almost immediately went, oh yeah, no, we're canceling for good. Like we're done forever. Like we're done until somebody else buys this. Like The Rock finally did.
Yeah, but it was shocking to us to see.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah, we understood like you guys shutting down. Then we understood that you were canceling the season. It was like, okay, we get that because you know sports that have huge financial backing like baseball kept pushing it off. Oh, we're going to start in May. You know, it's probably looking more like June now. And then they get like spring training going and then have to shut it down.
Yep, they got spring training going and then shut down.
And then shut down again and we had to wait. And then they, you know, that was more financial than COVID.
Yeah. So then, but you end up with a good league that was good for young players who needed you know, either one, to earn a living playing football in their younger years without any sort of aspirations of playing in the NFL, and for a player or two like PJ Walker who could play in the league, showcase some skill, earn a spot maybe on a practice squad, and possibly turn that into an NFL career. Who knows? Most of the people that were going to play in the XFL were really young, good football players, not great football players, but good enough to make money playing professional football until their time was up to go do something else for a living. Right? So it served some purposes there. But it came and went as quick as it arrived. I mean, it was over before it was really got rolling. And then not only was it over, it was over before it got rolling. But my point is, good for PJ Walker, who in this calendar year of trouble turned turned an opportunity into gold, got a start for an NFL team,
turned a negative into a positive.
That's right. I mean, think about it. I mean, no matter where he goes with this, I mean, who knows where his life takes him? You know, in the history of the Carolina Panthers, he was once a starting quarterback for them.
Yeah,
for them, he has earned a spot in the history books as one time a starting quarterback for an NFL football team in Charlotte.
You'll go to his Wikipedia page because I'm sure there is one.
I'm sure it will be.
And it'll show, you know, hey, XFL stud, NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that the Lions in that game were shut out 20-0. And here is my reminder, once again, that it is nearly impossible to be shut out of an NFL football game. So good for the Lions to put up a complete and utter goose egg where you can kick the ball from 50 yards through the uprights. You can't get in a position to knock one through for at least 3 points.
Here, I got a little something on that, too, because I have the kicker of the Lions on my fantasy football team.
Oh, well done, yeah.
And he earned me a negative point because he did miss a field goal.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I didn't even know you could get negative points for missing field goals.
I have Steven Goskowski, who has missed 8 field goals this season, and I'm not giving up on him. I am like Mike Vrabel. I am sticking with him till the very end.
Atta we are boy, going.
If
that,
if our ship is sinking, we are going down together. Fellas, it's too rough to feed you. Good night. I don't care. Steven Goskowski is my boat that I am taking to the bottom where the Titanic is if I have to. I'm not letting him go. I don't know what it is about him, but I ain't letting him go.
Which, by the way, I will say this about your team this week. You had a blowout win.
Yes, I did have a blowout win. I'm going to have that season in fantasy football where you go, he had a lot of talent, but he just didn't manage it well.
Yep.
That's me. That's my fantasy football team. I'm like, man, if the right person had that roster, they would have been competitive. But Tony's not exactly good at this. So therefore, he finished, you know, whatever I finish at the end.
You're not last,
right? When's the final week for those of us not in the playoffs?
I don't know, like 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now, when I'm done.
Yep.
All right, coming up more
there with you.
Coming up more review of Week 11, including the Titans overtime victory. Guess who's in the playoff hunt? And another team that's not in the playoff hunt. We'll get to all three coming up next on Wake Up Call.
You're
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call. The Athletic delivers every sports story that matters. The Athletic with full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. Plus, national names like Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones. They provide unrivaled league-level perspective and insight, all personalized, ad-free. So if you're looking for that fantasy football edge or an outlook on your NBA team, The Athletic has the sports coverage you need. And subscribe today for $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, that's theathletic.com/radioweek. All right, so Tennessee Titans, they beat the Baltimore Ravens 30-24. Now, Derrick Henry scored his second overtime touchdown of the season. 29 yards out, barreled himself in, and the Ravens go down. Tennessee wins the game and puts themselves in a tie with the Colts for the division lead. The Colts all with an overtime victory over Green Bay. I've been in a lot of, you know, markets, NFL markets, and I'll tell you this. A lot of these guys that say they don't listen to the press, they don't listen to radio, they don't watch TV, they don't read the papers, they don't care what people say about them. A lot of people on these teams do. I mean, they live in the community. It's hard not to hear the buzz about your team when it's not doing particularly well. It's kind of hard to avoid. Because you do have family and friends that you live near. Maybe your wife or girlfriend is out. She hears this. She hears somebody say that. Somebody says something to her. Somebody says something to you. Whatever. But you kind of know the mood of the city. Living in Nashville, I will tell you that the Titans have lost three of their last four games after a 5-0 start. They're not looking particularly good. And they went into this game with Baltimore. And there was a lot of talk about whether or not the Titans were after 5-0 and people looking at them, okay, this is one of the players in the AFC. People were wondering here, is that true? Are they a good team, but are they kind of this one trick pony where maybe some defensive lapses are going to hurt them, and can they ride Derrick Henry? And Ryan Tannehill's had a good game, but occasionally they make mistakes. You know, it's kind of this buzz. Is this team for real? And I know the Titans probably felt we needed to do something. We needed to play well. And in this game, they fought back. But here's how Tennessee is a scary team in the playoffs. If you're going to get Tennessee, you got to blow them out. You're going to have to blow them out early. You got to put the foot on the gas and beat them. And you got to take Derrick Henry and the option of Derrick Henry out of the game. Because here's where Henry, it's not just handing the ball off to him. That's not what the Titans get their production out of Henry. It's not just he has 35 carries and runs over you all game. It's that he runs over you in the second half, right? It's that he runs over you when you're tired. He runs over you when I can't do this again. This guy is too strong and he's too fast and we are just out of breath trying to drag him to the ground. That's when he beats you. That's when this team uses him either as a direct weapon or the threat of him used to come back again. Saw it against the Steelers a couple of weeks ago. Did the exact same thing, trailed early, but then enough of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill was able to get some things going offensively, and they almost forced the tie. And that's what you saw yesterday with this game against the Ravens. I mean, Baltimore's up 21-10 in the third quarter, and the Ravens defense is doing a pretty good job, but here comes Derrick Henry. Here comes the Titans. They score, they get the ball, they use Henry, it opens up some passing game. Next thing you know, they're in position to kick some field goals, put themselves in position to win this game. They get an A.J. Brown touchdown, who just barreled his way into the end zone. One of the best touchdowns you'll see all year. His determination to get in was unreal, dragging people into the end zone. But when the Ravens got the field goal that tied the game, overtime became Tennessee's place because they could hold Baltimore to a field goal or get them to a punt. But when they get the ball where a touchdown wins it, they know they've got the machine in Derrick Henry that could just keep pounding because you're exhausted. You've been doing this pretty much all game and it's hard. And that's what they did. And they've done it twice already this season. So that's where Tennessee becomes a threat to anybody playing them, regardless of where their record is. So again, if you're going to beat them as quickly as you possibly can to sort of take Henry a little bit out of the game.
The other thing I always see about Henry that surprises me, and even though I've seen him do it a couple of times and seen him run, I always forget he's sneaky fast.
He is sneaky fast.
He doesn't
Big
look
tank,
it.
Tank, but he can run.
Yeah, but once he gets in that open field, he just outruns everybody. And you're like, God, just it doesn't make any sense to me.
The ability that he has at his size and speed, he cuts well. I mean, he has a full package. He is seriously hard to bring down. And he's fast, and he's quick to the cuts, and that's and again you could see it yesterday in the run. I mean, the Ravens looked exhausted, and he runs it from 29 yards out, scores a touchdown, the winning touchdown,
and it looked easy
exactly. And that's where I would be careful playing Tennessee in the postseason.
By comparison, you know, what it kind of reminded me of. I mean, it didn't look anything like it, but it kind of reminded me of when Marshawn Lynch scored against the Saints in that playoff game.
Right,
that run looked tiresome for Marshawn Lynch.
Sure.
I mean, he was fighting people. People were, they were holding on. I mean, remember he had the stiff arm that I can't remember who it was, but sent the guy to another zip code.
Yeah.
But that he looked like he was tired at the end of it, where Derrick Henry, he might have been tired, but he looked like he could go another quarter.
Yep.
After that touchdown run.
All right, so now the team that they could run into in the postseason are the Cleveland Browns at 7-3 now. But my thing with the Cleveland Browns is this. Look, God bless them. They've got 7 wins, and they're 1 win away from having a non-losing season. And they're going to get that against Jacksonville. They still play the Giants and the Jets. I mean, they still get some very winnable games on their schedule, and they might be good enough to beat like a team like Tennessee or give the Steelers at the end of the season a run when the Steelers might not have a perfect season on the line and everybody gets rested. So they're going to get a couple of more wins on their schedule and have a winning record this season. And all jokes aside, this has been a team that has achieved. I mean, whether or not we say, look, you're talented, you should achieve. The fact is, Browns have been talented and haven't achieved. So God bless them for this great season so far at 7-3. But when you look at their wins, they haven't really beaten anybody. They've beaten the Bengals twice. They've beaten the Redskins and the Cowboys. They beat the Colts. Now that's a good win. But they beat the Texans, who aren't very good, and now the Eagles, who are not very good. They've beaten 3 teams from the NFC East. They've beaten the Bengals with a rookie quarterback twice. And again, their win against the Colts is pretty impressive so far. But when they played the Ravens, they've lost, the Steelers, they've lost, and the Raiders, they've lost. And all 3 of those teams are either A, in the playoff hunt, or B, already secure going to the postseason. So as much as I want to, it's like giving a sticker to a kindergartner. Yep. Yes, you should probably know how to draw and write the letter A. But we're going to give you a sticker anyway because we should. That's the way I feel about the Browns. This is a 7-3 season that should be a 7-3 season. With Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and them running the football and playing in crappy weather where they run the ball well enough to be successful in those kind of conditions, they should be 7-3. But let's be honest. Maybe they shouldn't be 7-3. Maybe they're a team that just doesn't get to this kind of point. Maybe they live a schedule like this where you go, man, why are they 4-6? But they're not. They're 7-3, and now they're in the playoff hunt. Man, I don't want to say that I want anybody in the AFC North to make the playoffs, because I really don't as a fan. But as an analysis of this league, I am pulling for their story. I got to tell you, there is no more loyal fan base than Cleveland. There are loyal fan bases, and Cleveland is right there with them. For them to have had a team that they could feel good about and has disappointed them time and time again, for this team to be just a handful of wins from having a winning season, let's cross that mark first before we talk about playoffs. They're 1 win away from at least going 500. They're 2 wins away from having a winning season. And then to be in the conversation for a playoff berth, I give them all the credit in the world. I don't care what their schedule looks like. I don't care if it's ordinary. I heard it's been described as rather pedestrian, given who they've beaten and who they've played and who they've lost to and how they've lost those games. I still think that you're achieving something this season for Cleveland that we really didn't know what to expect. I mean, this team has weapons. We know that. They just haven't utilized those weapons the way we thought they should in previous years. They don't pass the ball particularly well because they don't have to pass the ball particularly well. They run the ball great. They'll pound you with Nick Chubb and then get Kareem Hunt at the goal line. That's what they do. But here's a team that may not be going to the playoffs unless some miracle turnaround. And that's the Patriots. They lose to the Texans. It's a 4-6 season, disrupted momentarily by COVID when Cam Newton was out. But they're 4-6. And I'm not burying them yet. I don't know what they got up their sleeve. Who knows? Whatever. It's hard to pick against them. But it is easy. It is becoming easier to pick against them.
It is. And they don't look... I mean, they obviously don't look Patriot-esque.
No.
But I don't even think they're on par with the Dolphins, let alone the Bills.
And we say this every time we talk on the Patriots and their struggles. They had a number of good players opt out this season. That is true. Yep. You know, but the reality is, here's the thing. At the beginning of the season, when those things were occurring, we pointed to the genius of Bill Belichick and said, well, if there is a coach that can manage and find diamonds in the rough to fill those spots, it's Bill Belichick. Well, he hasn't been able to do so. There are plenty of injuries on this team. There's no question about it. They've been dealing with it too much. This is one of those seasons lost. And I don't know. I'm not going to go down the quick road of Brady's won this battle because we don't know. This is a season that's got a lot. The Patriots have a lot on their plate. Right? A lot of injuries, a lot of opt-outs. Cam Newton has been out for COVID. He's not really coming together yet. Who knows where his future with the organization is going to be. And Brady's having a fantastic year in Tampa. But he went to a team with a bunch of weapons, and the Patriots were left without their star quarterback. Oh, and a bunch of guys who are opting out. And, oh, by the way, a bunch of injuries. That's not an excuse, because I know people want to dance on the Patriots' grave. I'm just not ready to do that quite yet. Because this just might be a stutter step, if you will, on their way to coming back with something decent enough to make a couple more playoff runs. But this is seriously a stutter step. Houston is a team that's just like them. This was a one versus one matchup when you looked at the schedule. This was a division leader against a division leader. And this was definitely not that when those two teams played. Highly disappointing on both the Texans and the Patriots. More excusable for the Patriots than the Texans, because the Texans, some of the things that are missing of their own design.
Yeah, and I will say this, that this game is summed up in one play, and it was Deshaun Watson's touchdown run where he just lowered his shoulder and bowled right over.
Yeah,
I don't know who the Patriots defender was.
That's right.
That was the summary of this game, and it just... The Texans were able to just be better.
Yeah.
And it didn't look right, which was bizarre. It didn't feel like the Texans should be. Texans looked like a playoff team yesterday.
We have seriously not seen a Patriot team that is vulnerable, weak.
No, we haven't.
In 20 years.
And I think that's part of the mystique. Like the
maybe even a little longer.
Like maybe it's the curtain behind it. It's like the Patriots don't look like it was like, oh, that's an off game for the Patriots.
Yeah. And let's not forget that like there was, you know, they had a Super Bowl run with Bledsoe and then kind of a period of time where they were there. But you know, I mean, for 20 years, a little and some change, they've been fantastic. And that's a long, long time.
Yes, it is.
To remember a period of time where they were beatable, you'd feel like you'd beat them when you played them, and they were going to have a tough time winning some games. All right, speaking of tough time, we know that Thanksgiving is coming up, and you might indulge in all the good food and drink, but that means you might not feel so good afterwards. Hold on, we've got the remedy. Nazine is there for you and waiting to help comfort you during the whole indulgence of Thanksgiving. Upset stomach and nausea remedy. It's quick dissolving chewable tablets and best of all wild cherry flavor. So they're delicious and they don't have the chalky medicinal flavor or bitter aftertaste that you get in other upset stomach medicines. 4-minute formula quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging, which you know you're going to do in a couple of days. So get to the digestive section of your retailer and get Nazine. Again, find them in the purple box with the wild cherry on top. You'll love it. It's fantastic for this time of year because we know what we're going to do, Ron, and we're going to feel discomfort. Let's get some comfort with Nazine.
Listen, I already popped a couple yesterday after our wife came back from the store with all the groceries for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because you saw it with your eyes.
I saw what I was looking at. I'm like, oh man, let me just take some now because I could feel it coming already.
All right, no aspirin, no caffeine, no antihistamines. Again, Nazine, you'll find them in your digestive section of most leading retailers. There, you know you're going to need it, so get it. It's Nazine. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of wake-up calls presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can. Michael on Twitter tells us that the last losing season for the Patriots was 2000. They were 5-11. So yeah, 20 years. I was thinking a little, I thought they were okay. I know they weren't Super Bowl good when Bill Parcells led them there and they left. I know they had a couple of down years with Pete Carroll, was their coach, before Bill Belichick arrived. But nevertheless, it's been a long time for the Patriots. When I was at my first radio station back before the internet, I remember a sales guy came up to me, and the Patriots were having a pretty good season. It was the second year for Bledsoe, and they were in the running for the playoffs, but it was going to be tricky. They're going to need some help. And I remember the sales guy came to me and he said, "Oh, I got some advertisers for the Patriots. We carried the games." And he said, "Can you give me the playoff scenarios for the last couple of games of the season?" And it was one of those, do you remember doing this when you were younger? Like, my team needs to win, and then they need this team to lose, and this team to lose, and this team to lose. So
younger.
Not that long ago. Now you can go on the internet and find this, but I remember I had to create this. So I had to go get their schedule. I had to get the other schedules from the newspaper, and I remember the only person in my life, the only person I knew I could call, because I needed tiebreakers. I needed to know the list of what the end of. I had to call my dad at his office. I was like, "Dad, I need some help." Because being a Giants fan, he definitely knew how the playoff system worked. And I said, "Okay, so after the divisional matchups, where do they go?" Because I was trying to put this. Those were fun. I'll be honest with you. I know it's easy with the internet. Those were fun times to put together scenarios like that. I kind of miss those days. But 5-11 in 2000.